And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Just a few minutes ago, I was looking at Fox Business because Dow is approaching 30,000 with the word of a vaccine. And the story that they had up on about 20 minutes ago was how Las Vegas is handling all of this. And Nicole took Friday off. And let me just preface this by saying there were a couple people who, when we mentioned that you were going to Vegas for the weekend, who were saying that you shouldn't do that. You planned this months ago. You had no idea there was going to be another spike, and you'd already planned it and paid for it, and you were going with friends. And I just don't want people to say anything negative about you going down there. It was something you planned a long time ago.
I do recognize that it's a choice that I make, and so I can deal with the consequences, which is people not liking it. But I actually had
knocked that off.
Right. Well, I had planned it before the shutdown, and you know, I went with a small group of people. We all trust, and we're, you know, not going to be around people when we get back and things like that. So we're all trying to be as responsible as possible. We wore a mask while we were down there. It's definitely still crowded in Vegas, but everybody is wearing a mask, and Fremont had smoking for sure because people think of it. I mean, it's outside, but it doesn't feel very outside. So we didn't stay long there because that was probably more crowded than the Strip. So we just kind of hung out by the pool during the day. And then, you know, hung out. I mean, restaurants are 6 people at a table and super spread out. We ate outside. So we did the best we could and just kind of went along. It was my friend's daughter's 21st birthday, and you know, he only turned 21 we decided to go for it.
I just, I just didn't want people to say anything negative to you. I mean, my family and I, we went to Palm Desert a few weeks ago, and there's just not, you know, if you travel, you travel. Okay, so the question I have is, they were showing in one of the casinos, one of them was doing temperature checks as people were walking in. Did you see any of that?
No, not once.
I don't know which one it was.
Oh, actually, I take that back. When we checked in, they took our temperature. So not when you go in and out of the casino, but when you go to stay at the casino. So I guess that the one hotel, when we checked in, I think they did. You stood in front of it. It was one of the airport ones where it looks like a metal detector, but you just stand in front of it, and then they wave you through. So it's not like an actual, you know, thermometer thing.
Yeah, no, that's what Clear uses, too, is you just stand a few inches away. I don't know how, I mean, I guess it's accurate. It's very weird to me that you can stand several inches away when there's all kinds of other, you know, ambient air temp and other factors.
You're like six feet away from it. It was way out in front of us, so it just sends like a laser, I think, at your forehead. It's crazy.
But it didn't feel. Did they have the plexiglass? Because you're not a big gambler. Big plexiglass up everywhere at the tables?
So some of them had plexiglass dividers, and some of them just made you stay far apart, and you could only have. I can't remember how many people at a table. I think it depends on the size of the table, but some of them had plexiglass. Some of them just had spaces that you had to maintain. But everybody was, you know, observing rules for the most part.
It's just, I don't know. Like I said, everybody's going crazy. The airplanes, I haven't seen any cases that have been tracked to air travel.
I felt so safe on the plane. That was the least. I mean, I definitely felt safest on the plane, I think, because everybody's wearing masks. I know we hear these stories of people that are whining about that on the news, but I think that's very infrequent. And everybody was very respectful. Got on the plane. There's nobody in the middle seat. The air is filtered. That was like the least of my concerns. I say that my anxiety level was heightened because it gets in your head.
And that's my point, is that I think everything has been built up to be a much greater fear, and I'm not trying to diminish it. I know that there are people who have died, but I'm telling you, for somebody like you, who's young and healthy, your risk factor is near zero, if we're talking about dying from it. And there are people who are just in an all-out panic. And I understand if you live with an elderly parent, you can't catch it. You don't want to take it home. My girls are very conscious about not wanting kids. They're being social, you know, 20-somethings, and they don't want to bring it home to me for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we had some conversations this weekend about, you know, if they're going to get tested, and then quarantine after the test before Thanksgiving. We may not do our family Thanksgiving, which would break my heart. But I think that we are all exaggerating, and I think that the message from our politicians is feeding into this fear, and that's where we get back to the why. Why would they want to instill more fear than is warranted? And as I've been saying from the very beginning, when this first hit last spring, fear is the easiest way to control large groups of people. And we are being controlled very much right now. And I'm not saying that this is a non-factor, but I am saying the danger to most people is greatly exaggerated. When our politicians seem to have no problem saying, yep, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, while they endorse riots in the streets, there's something bizarre going on. And it's not healthy. It's not healthy for us as a society. It's extremely destructive for all of us as individuals. And so I'm just going to continue to pound this drum and try to be a voice somewhat of reason here and say it's real, we should take the precautions, but do not let this turn you into an emotional basket case. And be very wary when playing blackjack and craps is more protected than being together with your loved ones to give thanks or to celebrate the birth of Jesus. There's something really sick and wrong in our society right now, and too many people are feeding into that. Which brings me to a story I saw in the New York Times, that right now, because of the level of anxiety, that one of the things people are turning to for solace is the time in their life when they were happiest. And for a lot of people, that's when you're, you know, in your teens or your 20s. Have we ever talked about that? Have you cited a time in life, Nicole, that was your very happiest?
No, I think we've talked about going places, like what you do that makes you the happiest. I think we've talked about things like that, but I don't know about time in my life. I would actually probably say now. I mean, maybe childhood. I had a great childhood, mm-hmm. and I loved it, and you know, I'm appreciative of the way that I was raised and all that, but as far as 18 to now, probably now. I say this often, but I didn't peak in my 20s. I've got my stuff together better now than I ever did in my 20s.
For me, and I always hear people my age say, oh, this is the best time in life. And if that's true for you, God bless you. I'm happy for you. I've always said, and I can almost pinpoint the year, when I was about 34 years old was the time when I would say I was my very happiest. And it's not that I'm unhappy now, but I just remember at age 34, I had just gotten this radio show. I'd had this for a couple of years. It was unbelievably professionally exciting to be climbing the ladder and to achieve a professional goal that I had to do a show like this. My wife and I, we'd been married about 7-8 years. We had all three of our girls by the time I was 34. I loved being a parent. I loved that age for our girls. I was just embarking on you know, a coaching pursuit that would be one of my passions in life. And I was healthy. You know, I could still run and jump and do all the things. The time has eroded. And so for me, age 34 was the happiest. And again, I'm not unhappy now. It's just that that was the sweet spot right there. So according to this New York Times story, what people are doing to cope with coronavirus is they are binging movies and TV shows and music from the time that was happiest in life. And for an awful lot of people, that was back in the 90s. And so they see this on Spotify and on Netflix, that the music of the 90s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the TV shows, the movies, they are getting watched the most or more than they ever have before. And what these psychologists are saying is that for people, they are just trying to get back with those powerful memories that are created by music and entertainment. They're just trying to go back to the happiest time in life. And so, because I want to rebel against all the negativity and all of the people who are feeding into the hysteria right now, I wanted to ask you, you can text us, and then Nicole and Sean are going to sift through. Maybe we'll pull a clip from the TV show or the movies or from a song. But from the world of entertainment, what was the time in your life that brings back the happiest memories? And just send us a couple examples of the songs or the TV shows or the movies, and we'll pull a few clips and we'll share some of those. So about at 1:30 this afternoon in that segment, we'll, instead of feeding into the hysteria, we'll try to help transport you back to the very happiest time. So go ahead and text us. Yes.
Maybe it's just a more simpler time because, like I said, I'm cool with where I am in life. Obviously, I wish it was no COVID, but I think it's maybe where things were more simple. That might be some of the nostalgia that's related to it as well. Because it just, everything seems complicated now, right?
That's not it for me. Yeah. Life's always complicated in my view. But no, for me, it was more a matter of, you know, peak health, age of my kids, and where I was professionally. I love my job every bit as much now as I did 25 years ago. But it's hard to replace that rush of working toward getting something and then finally achieving it. And then after a couple of years, I thought, you know, I might be able to make a go of this. I might be able to actually do this for a while. And that is a rush that is irreplaceable. So
when it pays off. And I think that's part of it, too. Maybe the high stress times of my life was where I didn't have money. And money is the source of a lot of stress.
And, absolutely.
And now being a little bit more financially stable brings a lot of relief and you can enjoy things more. So I think that's probably part of it.
That was a part of it for me, too, because I grew up, you know, literally in poverty. And then I was making $4 an hour for a long time when I graduated from college at King 5. King 5 was paying me $4 an hour, a college graduate. But it was a means to an end. And then I got a raise to $6.50. But then it was right about that age, 34, when I started making some decent money for the first time in my life. And yeah, that made a difference too. So anyway, TV, movies, music, send us some ideas of what would bring you comfort. And we'll pull a few clips. So Sean, keep an eye on the text messages and let's make people happy and nostalgic in the 1:30 half hour. Okay.
I think that sounds doable.
I know. You can do it all. You can do it all. Okay, let's continue here in the fastest. Oh, you text us, by the way, at 98973. That's 98973. Joe Biden working toward transitioning to be president. And one of the things that he talked about again this weekend is he wants to forgive college loans up to $50,000 worth, which is one of the worst plans I've heard in a long, long time. When an individual takes out a loan and then they expect somebody else to pay it off, and there's a great point. Dinesh D'Souza, who's a good friend of our radio show, he was talking about how colleges keep jacking up the costs, even though it should get more and more affordable. They can do more stuff online. There's no reason why college should have an inflation rate that is dramatically higher than the rest of our economy. But they do it because they can. And you have more and more people who believe that a college education is a necessity when it's not. There are a lot of good, hardworking, blue-collar people who work as plumbers and electricians, and they didn't get a college degree, and they're making six figures. So explain to me, if some person has worked their way up professionally and gotten that blue-collar job as a plumber, and they're making that six figures, why should we take money from that person and give it to somebody who got a useless college degree, you know, some liberal arts degree or something from Evergreen State, where it's helped them zero in the marketplace? Why should we subsidize that kind of bad decision making? And there are an awful lot of worthless college degrees where people and their parents, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars getting a degree that is functionally useless in the job marketplace. And Dinesh D'Souza talked about that.
Even though inflation has been very low for the past several decades, colleges have been jacking up their costs. Now, this runs against common sense because technology is lowering costs, but colleges keep increasing costs. Now, why do they do this? They do it because they know that a lot of the money is coming from the government. So colleges jack up the costs, and then the government steps in and pays those costs. So it's kind of a collusion between the colleges and the government to rip off the taxpayer. And this has been going on now, as I say, for a whole generation.
And it also is a way to rip off hardworking, industrious people who have developed skills that get them paid well. So that they can subsidize people who get worthless college degrees. And we should not, as a society, be subsidizing poor decision-making and punishing good decision-making. But we're going to see a lot more of that with the new administration coming in. And that there is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll give you the world. Okay, I got a lot of other news to get to. We'll take a little slide down nostalgia lane. And lots more to come on a rainy Monday. But it's sunshiny in my heart, despite all the nonsense that's out there, as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. This is what people were recommending for their nostalgia.
I actually love this one. This does take me back to watching this. I mean, I grew up watching this all the time.
With takes my aunt, you back to 40 years before you were born?
Yep. Well, no, Nick at Night. Takes me back to Nick at Night.
I will say, the best TV show, if you want to just feel good, And it's one of the five greatest TV shows of all time. I still record it. I have about 30 episodes on my DVR right now. The Andy Griffith Show. It is perfection when it comes to the writing, the acting, the storylines, and just a time that I never experienced. That's a tough whistle right there.
Let me just drown you out there, Dory.
Especially with the delay.
Oh, I keep forgetting about that. Oh, shoot. Okay. Now, the Andy Griffith Show, it's a life that I never experienced because I never lived in a more, you know, rural area. I grew up on the main streets of Ballard. But it's just a beautifully done show. And I still watch Andy Griffith all the time. According to this New York Times story that talks about how people are coping with all the stress with nostalgia, they talked about a veterinarian, Dr. Libby Torchia, and they were just about to spay a dog, and her colleagues knew that she was kind of feeling anxious because of the COVID-19 stuff. And so as they were just about to spay the dog, they started playing the Spice Girls Wannabe. And they had a little dance party right before they, you know, did the thing to the doggy. And she said, made me feel a lot happier and just kind of let go of all the conflict. And they also said Fleetwood Mac, for some reason, is a particularly good, nostalgic band. And I mentioned Fleetwood Mac just a few weeks ago. I did not like... Rumors came out when I was a senior in high school. And it was a mega hit. And I did not like Fleetwood Mac. And I remember I drove to Oregon with three friends. And we had a bunch of cassette tapes. And they were listening to Fleetwood Mac all the time. And I hated it. And now here we are years later, and I now love the band, that album. It did nothing for me when it first came out. So it's not connected to nostalgia for me. They had a greatness that I did not recognize at the time. And what's really cool, my oldest daughter has declared that Fleetwood Mac is her favorite 70s band. And she just loves their music, too. So that's one that apparently has brought a lot of people happiness in these dark times. On Netflix, movies from the 80s and 90s are getting played more than ever. Jurassic Park, The Empire Strikes Back, The Goonies, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They are getting played more and more, again, because people want to just go back to a time in life when they were the happiest. I watched a depressing movie that came out when I was a kid that I saw in the theater when I was about 12 or 13. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I just watched that last weekend.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's a master class in acting by everybody involved.
Yeah, and cute little Danny DeVito before he was still short.
Yeah, but my wife, I didn't even recognize him.
I know.
He looked so different, but it was Danny DeVito. They had a lot of, you know, big names in that, but and Louise Fletcher is perfect as Nurse Ratched, and Jack Nicholson's a masterclass in acting. So, yeah, I just watched that one. So I guess I'm doing some of the nostalgia thing, too. As we traipse through these challenging times together. Okay, I got some other news that I have to get to here, including, you know, I said at the beginning of the show, what's the reason that we have politicians saying no Thanksgiving, no Christmas? Why do we have so many people who are, you know, saying rioting's okay, but a Christmas get-together is not? You know, and I played that Jake Tapper soundbite a few minutes ago, but I just,
I just can't believe when I hear stuff like
this.
You
can approach a degree of normality while still doing some fundamental public health things that synergize with the vaccine to get us back to normal.
So not till the second or third quarter of 2021, though. Christmas is probably not going to be possible.
Yeah,
Christmas is not going to be possible. No, Christmas will happen. You can choose to whatever extent you want to embrace it and celebrate it. But I'm not going to be somebody in the media saying that Christmas is not possible. We can celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ as much today as we could before coronavirus. And I said, one of my fears is that all this is happening because Marxism has taken root. Marxism is the ideology that is behind, you know, so much of what's happening with the street rioters, whether it be Antifa or Black Lives Matter. They are admitted Marxists, that they want to destroy the nuclear family as one of their goals. And that's why I appreciate Tim Allen. Tim Allen, I never watched, what was the show that you loved, Nicole's Home Improvement?
Well, I loved Home Improvement, but then also Last Man Standing is the one that's most recent that I tried to get you into.
And I love it. I've never seen an episode of Home Improvement, but Last Man Standing, really? I just absolutely love, just because I, you know, he's got three daughters, and I can just relate to it so much. Well, Tim Allen is back in the news because he trolled his social media followers in our capitalist nation with a joke about Marxism. He said, finally, an honest, progressive position. Short-term demands, among them a progressive income tax, abolition of inheritance and private property, abolition of child labor, free public education, nationalization of the means of transport. And he said, guess who wrote this? And it was Karl Marx, 172 years ago. Now, again, that is exactly where our politicians here in the Puget Sound area and now the party that's in control nationally. That's their progressive position. Income tax hikes, abolition of inheritance and private property, abolition of child labor, free public education, nationalization of the means of transport. Karl Marx. Oh, yeah, let's get rid of Christmas, too. Tim Allen, he nailed that one. Okay, lots more to come. A lot of other news to get to, including we're keeping an eye on what this shutdown means to our local economy. I'll have more on that in the Big Lead at 2. Don't go anywhere. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. Is that Golden Girls?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Another show I've never seen.
What?
It's great, Dory. It holds up.
Does it?
You'd be surprised. I think you think of it as, some old ladies on, living together, whatever. You think you can't relate, but you really can. They're each very, the characters are well-developed.
And back when they were actually on the air, I think they were probably mostly about your age, Dory, not really in their 70s either,
Right. Oh, yeah. No, they were younger than me, some of them.
The grandmother is the youngest on the show.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, girl.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting lots of text messages about what brings you back to your happiest time. Yeah, I was thinking about this, too. That not necessarily when I was happiest in life. Because when I was, 11, 12, I wasn't insanely happy. I have a lot of really good memories. But, my mom was the only one at home. There was no dad. And mom would go play bingo almost every night. So I'd be home alone and I would just watch TV. I mean, I was just a child of television. And so, you know, those shows back in the mid 70s. And like I said, it's not connected to a wildly happy time in life, but I had so many dreams and goals. And I remember that even though that time in life wasn't fantastic, having the goals and trying to figure out how I was going to achieve them, that was incredibly exciting. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a happy time in life, but a time that laid the groundwork for a happy time. So yeah, we're getting lots of text messages. Wallflowers. I mean, there are just some real random ones.
I was trying to get that loaded in time, but I'm having some issues with the download. But that actually resonated with me because that was one of the most fun times of high school was when I was listening to that song driving around with some friends. So that one stuck out to me.
And that's what people need to focus on more than all of the hysteria right now.
Unchained Melody? I love that one.
Unchained Melody. Yeah, it was from Ghost, right?
Mm-hmm.
A movie I've actually seen. And then someone said the shows The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie. Oh, The Waltons. I was there. Every Thursday night, I was about 10 years old. And, I was so in love with the Waltons TV show. It's crazy. No 10-year-old should have loved that show as much as I did. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then the big lead at 2 is coming up next.